And on today's Windy City CareerCast, Deb Pierce is with me, and we're talking about the wintry, wintry season of winter in our winter wonderlands, our respective winter wonderlands. And she is getting new tires, and it is reminding me of snowy times in Tennessee, the few that there were. And Boxing Day. What the hell is Boxing Day? We probe the question. And we are going to Australia and Cuba and many other exotic places. Well, Richard Knight Jr. is taking us to Australia, and Deb might just take me or somebody, maybe a lucky listener, to Cuba. To Cuba. To Cuba Gooding Jr. Ooh, what a fun show.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
I'm getting myself in something I don't wanna. I'm getting caught up in him, but I don't wanna. I'm getting off track and I can't control a thing. I'm telling myself it's not a good idea, but the more I hesitate, the more and more appealing. I'm trying to erase his face from my memory. And then I'm born, shalaka, he's walking up to me, born, shalaka, he starts to talk to me, born, shalaka, my heart skips a boom.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast show number 267. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Deb Pierce.
Yes, you are.
Hello, the weather outside is frightful.
Is it?
It is a little bit wintry. It's cold here.
Yeah, it's cold here. Have you all had your first snow?
We had our first snow. It lasted about a week. My new puppy had no idea what the white stuff was, but it made her change into a rabbit because her legs are so short, so she doing, 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 doing through the backyard. But we are expecting literally our first snowfall tonight, which leads me to having to buy snow tires for the first time.
Oh, that's right, because now you have a car.
That's right. I've never had one. I've had one before, but nothing that I've been on the highway with, you know, putting 230 kilometers on a day.
Yeah. So that sounds like a really long fucking way, but I don't know what kilometers are.
They're they're shorter than miles. No, they're not. Your miles are longer. Yeah.
Miles are much
longer.
Yeah,
they are. Yeah.
You don't want to be driving 232 miles. That would take you like 6 hours.
Yeah, that would. Yeah.
I mean, not really, but in traffic, it would take you a long time.
Listen, I love my job, not that much. So I've been pricing out winter tires, and in Toronto, which is obviously in Ontario, it's really hard to get tires because the entire province of Quebec has made it a legal issue. Everybody driving in Quebec has to have winter tires.
Really?
Yes, it's mandatory. It's the law.
Wow. Good for them.
So you can imagine. Well, it is, and I mean, listen. I mean, that's a province with some crazy snow. They go so far north, but you thought it was cold here in Canada. It gets colder in Quebec, but so I'm having a hard time finding it. But I finally nailed it down. I've got an appointment, $580 tomorrow to get my snow tires put on and aligned.
Wow,
that's a lot of money.
It is, but you know what? Then you take them off. And you put them on again next year, and I'm sure it doesn't cost that much once you own them.
Yeah, that's right. It'll just be installation. It's a one-shot deal. And my parents are giving me some money towards it for Christmas.
Oh, so that's nice.
But they should have just given me theirs. They live in Florida in the winter, for crying out loud.
Why didn't they just give you theirs?
Well, because my mom, we don't have the same kind of car.
Oh. Well, they could have just given you their car.
I've been asking. Listen, I asked for that for years. they know me better than that. They know they know not to trust me with a vehicle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, are you scared to drive in snow?
Nope.
Nope.
No, I grew up in such rural areas in Ontario that the other people, the idiots out there, the people that I feel like they got their driver's license out of a Cracker Jack box, yeah, I'm a little scared of them. They have...
Yeah.
Either people are just overconscious and brake happy, or they're too fast because they just think they've got their, you know, their radial tires on, their snow tires, they're good to go. Those are the kind of things that start accidents, but it's just the people that drive at an even pace, that don't have to slam on their anti-lock braking systems, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I see it every day on the highway, just idiots. I don't make friends on the highway either, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. It was snowing in Tennessee this past week. It didn't snow much.
Seem cricket. What?
I know, that's crazy. So I should have assumed you would have snow if Tennessee got a little snow. I don't think it's stuck. But when I was growing up, if there was the threat of snow and we even saw white stuff floating in the air, school was canceled. It was just canceled. It was like the whole city was on fire. I mean, it was like, come get your kids now. I have no
stuck up on water and soup.
Oh, it's hilarious. I think I remember two big snows in my entire childhood in Tennessee. I mean, it just doesn't snow. And when it spits snow, that's what we call it, spitting snow.
Right.
They literally just, like, shut down. I remember my mother, you felt like it was an earthquake, like 2 gallons of water and make sure I've gone to the store because it might spit snow tomorrow.
This is how it ends.
Yes.
Well, if you don't have the trucks or the salt or this is how it ends. The sky is falling. If you don't if you don't have the wherewithal, you know, like the salt or the dirt or the plows or something like that, you just really don't know how to deal with, like, the level of, you know, zero, like the freezing degree mark. You just can't.
Yeah. I don't know.
But
we had a significant ice storm when I was living.
What did you say?
A significant ice storm, like really severe.
I don't know why I thought you said something else. Okay, yeah.
Ooh, what did you think?
You know what? Go on.
You thought I said
I don't know what,
Dick, didn't you? What did you think
I said? A little bit. There was something Freudian. What's going on with me? Oh, I've had fall fever. Now I've got winter fever. What the hell? Okay, as you were.
Crack me. All right, you don't watch Battlestar, do you?
No, I do not.
My new obsession. We'll talk about it later. But anyhow.
Okay.
Yeah, so we had this severe ice storm in Memphis when I was living there in like 94, I don't know, something, 94. And everybody, all of the electrical lines snapped because they froze and they broke. And so half of Memphis, Tennessee had no electricity. Well, my partner at the time and I in our little townhouse, we had everything. We had electricity. We lost cable for like 30 minutes, but then it came back on. We had everything. So we had 10 people living in our house for a couple of days.
Oh, that's fun.
It was so fun as grown-ups.
Oh, that's so fun. That's a great memory.
Yeah, but it sucks for one pair of my friends, a couple. They didn't get there. Electricity back for over a week. And then the next year, I think it was the following year, it happened in my hometown where my family's from. And my mom, my dad, my brother, they were miserable. I mean, trying to run the fireplace, all kind of sleeping in the king size bed, blankets, boiling water. I mean, it's horrible. I mean,
it's very little house on the prairie. It's very primitive. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of cute in one sense if you've got that safe place and you can have 10 people over, whatever. But unless you've got really good insurance that goes through legal loopholes, people would have lost all the food they might have had in freezers
or fridges
or any of that.
Well, not freezers. Stick it out in the yard. It's cold.
Was it that cold? It stayed that cold, did it?
Oh, I mean, brilliantly ice storm cold. Yes, they were freezing indoors. Yep.
That's a good movie.
And you can't drive a lot of times on that because in Tennessee, they don't have any salt trucks. I mean, it's not like Chicago. They have no salt trucks. They have no plows, really. That's why it stops, because the city's
not geared for that. Well, we had such a cold snap after 3 days of constant and consistent rain here. Overnight, it got sub-zero weather for us, the degrees. And this morning when I was driving in listening to the traffic station, three tractor-trailers jackknifed off the major artery called the 401, which is our major highway here that goes along all the top of all the major bedroom communities into Toronto. Uh-huh. Three tractor-trailers jackknifed because of black ice.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's dangerous out there, but it show is pretty.
It is pretty to look at. You know, I look outside the window sometimes at the Pratt FM studios when it's snowing outside. And I said, I feel like I'm in a big gay snow globe.
There you go.
That's true. That's
making the best out of it. You are in a big gay snow globe.
I really am.
Those people who know you have big windows on two sides and you look right out over the neighborhood. It's true.
That's true. That is a true story. You've been to the Proud FM environment.
I know. It's been too long. And you are soon to come here to Chicago. Maybe we'll have a little snow while you're here. You're going to be here January 10th for the big finals of the Gays Got Talent. So, do you think you have talents that people don't know about?
Do I?
Yes. We know you sing. We know you do drag. Do you have a stupid human trick or something like that?
I can do four weird different things with my tongue, but unless I'm looking in the mirror, I'm not sure what I'm doing because I can't feel what it is. But I can fold it left, fold it right, fold it back, and then do this weird crinkle thing.
Yeah. That's genetic, you know.
Is it?
It is.
I wonder if it's my mom or my dad. How do you bring that conversation up? So, mom, dad, I'm
Can you do this, mom? Can you do that, mom? That's how you do it.
For lesbians. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, no, I don't
Why does everybody go to tongue tricks when I say, do you have a stupid human trick? Like, nobody says,
How did you finish that sentence that I was literally going to say lesbian tongue tricks?
Yeah, well, there you go. Because Coleman Domingo, earlier this week in the podcast, had he was talking about, I don't have any stupid, I can't do anything with my tongue. And everybody mentions that. Everybody mentions the tongue. Nobody says, I can pop my shoulder blades out, or I can balance something on my nose, or I can... Everybody goes to the tongue. Is it because I'm talking to gay people?
Yeah, you got to go to the tongue. Yeah, it's obvious, isn't it?
I guess.
Well, that is why that's the first thing that came to mind. I'm sure there's other things.
Yeah.
Listen to me. I'm sure I have many talents. How long do we have?
So we I don't know if you get the same shows on television that we have, but
we do. We sure do.
So we had Rosie Live, which Coleman and I both said was a big fat bomb.
Yeah, for about a minute that lasted.
Yeah,
at first I thought because it went up against Bob Wawawa, I thought maybe that was a, you know, a fate worse than death, but it doesn't change the content of it, which was sucky.
Mm. Really bad.
But she's written on her blog saying, that's it, I tried, no more reviews, no more bad reviews, I still had a good time doing it. So, whatevs.
Really?
I watched it for a second. I watched it for a second. And I You what?
I should have read her blog.
Yeah, no, well, I just talked about that today on the air, and I thought, well, you know, she tried, and the idea behind it is really nice. I really like the idea of a good old-fashioned variety show, because that's cause, you know, the stuff I grew up on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she tried, but I saw her tap dancing with some five-year-olds, and I thought, oh, dear.
No, it was so not good. It was not good. Now, Ellen had her really even bigger, big show in Vegas. And that fared much better, which I finally got to watch yesterday.
Oh, she's just on fire. She's been on fire for the last couple of years. As far as I'm concerned, she can't do... I don't know if it's her decisions or her people's decisions or a combination of both, but she's just on fire. She can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned, that Ellen.
That Ellen. Ellen.
I know,
Ellen.
It's true. Oh, Ellen. Have you ever met her or have you talked to her?
I've never interviewed her. Yeah, it was a long time ago. I happened to be at the big, I don't know what they called it. It was a big concert in RFK Stadium for the Millennium March on Washington.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And my friend, Michael Feinstein, was playing between Rufus Wainwright and Chaka Khan. So I had backstage passes and was hanging out in the tent with... I laughed and said if they bombed this tent, they would have bombed, like, all the gay talent there was at that time. I mean, everybody was in that tent. It was At one point, I was in a room with 12 people, and my ex and I were staying there, and I said, how the fuck are we standing here? It was like Garth Brooks, who's not gay, but his sister is, Melissa Etheridge.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, he played. He was fantastic. It was Garth Brooks and Kathy Najimy and Martina Navratilova and Melissa Etheridge and Ellen and Anne. This was back... Literally, there used to be the great joke that I used to tell that I broke up the two power lesbian couples because I saw them both one weekend, and within a month and a half, that Julie and Melissa had broken up and Anne and Ellen had broken up.
Common denominator,
yep.
You.
And I met Laura Dern like weekends after Angelina had stolen away Billy Bob, and she was a mess. God love her. She was really drunk one night, but she was very sweet.
Wow.
It was like everybody was there. It was the apex of the puppy episode. It was it was just, you know, Ellen's coming out episode. It was a really big time. Rufus Wainwright was just starting his career.
And I'm so happy
I hung
that you
out
know
with
who that
him.
Is.
You don't know who Rufus is?
No, I'm so happy he's Canadian. I'm so happy yeah. that you know who he is.
Oh, honey, Rufus and I, we go way back.
Do you? Yes. You got Southern
the
there.
The last time I got way sick was in Rufus's hotel room in the year 2000.
Okay. If those walls could talk.
Those walls could talk. I was hanging out with Rufus and my girlfriend and some of the Pet Shop Boys, and that was it. That was it. It was a weekend. That's all I can tell
that
you.
That was enough.
It was a rocking weekend. I have pictures of, they gave everybody cameras, and so I got, we got Michael's camera because he didn't really want it. And so I have pictures of me taking pictures of Rufus while he's taking a picture of me standing off the side
of
the
stage. Oh, that's
fun. Oh, yeah. I mean, hung out with all of them. That was actually the weekend that I met Dennis Shepherd and Judy Shepherd because they were there speaking. And I hung out with Dennis Shepherd one night for a good hour and a half, just the two of us sitting on a couch talking.
Wow.
One of the most amazing nights. Yeah. Everybody was there. George
weekend.
Michael was there. Shaka Khan was there. Oh, God.
That's holy moly.
It was huge night. Katie Lang was there.
We could do another one of those concerts. We could stand to have another one of those concerts. Maybe there should be a celebratory, like, saging when Dingle Dick over there gets out of the White House. Maybe there should be a big saging of all of those artists that you just mentioned, because I'm sure they're not pro-Bush.
Yeah.
You know?
Pun intended.
And they can't.
You know,
yeah,
I
thought I'd leave it because I had enough with the lesbian lick tricks. I thought I'd leave.
I think Michelle Obama's going to be doing that saging. I think she's going to get some fierce warrior witches up in there, and they will sage that White House to, you know.
Yeah.
Down from Aaliyah and Sasha to become fabulous, empowered women. Of our time.
Yeah.
I would be saging the hell out of that place.
Yeah, it's a good time. It's a good time.
It's a good time. God, why did we get off on the RFK? That's just crazy. But Ellen, we were talking about Ellen.
We were talking about Ellen.
She was sick, and so she was being very quiet, but they were filming her documentary. That was back when, you know, Anne met Coley LaFoon or whatever his name was.
Yeah. And they're broken up now, aren't they?
Oh, yes, they are.
Yeah.
So it was a moment. That's all I can say. I'm not with the same person, and most of them are not with the same person. So there you go.
Oh, I'm sure.
But
a pivotal moment in time.
But
well,
she's very small, and she's gotten even thinner. So I imagine if I saw her now, she would just. She's so thin these days to me because
she is really
thin.
Yeah, she's really. She's clearly, I think, got some, you know, Hollywood stuff, eating disorder stuff going on.
I don't know.
Too thin. I think she's too thin. I don't
like
too thin.
I don't either.
I don't trust people that I see eating sweets that are too thin. It just makes me leery.
Yeah, my girl's thin.
Like somebody
but
owning a bakery.
Sweets, so there you go.
Girl's thin and she eats meat a little bit, not too much. But she also works out, you know, 8 days a week. So she's thin, but built like a brick shit house.
Yeah, that's not Kelly. She doesn't work out. Just thin and long. Long and thin.
Yeah. As I look out the window right now, I see snow coming.
Are you?
Do you like a white Christmas?
I love a white Christmas. I don't ever have one, though, because I go home to Tennessee.
So you go home every year. This brings me to a point. Mm-hmm. I am 39.
Yes.
I pregnant paused like I was lying that I was really 40, but I actually am 39, and yep. Christmas is a big time for my family. My mom will all come to the house. I moved out when I was 19. So growing up, and even every time I come home, I'd have my bedroom or my old bedroom or the guest room. My sister would be there. My brother was away with his kids, and they'd come over afterwards. But my mom on Christmas morning wakes, like, flushes all the toilets, rings all the bells. Santa was here. Santa was here. I don't care if I'm 25, 35, or 39, 38. She just loves it. Santa leaves a gift outside our door. It's just a great, my mom loves Christmas. Well, they went to Florida a month and a half early this year, and guess what? I'm not going to see them. I'm not going to see my parents for Christmas for the first time ever.
All right, well, then you have to teach your girlfriend how to flush the toilet and run through the house.
I told her, I said, you need to leave a present outside the door. You need to run around with bells on. And she looked at me, and she's like, are you new? Yeah, I'm not. And I'm like, no, really. You need to do this for me.
Yeah.
Or keep me really busy.
That's what I want for Christmas. That's when you get to say what I want for Christmas. You don't go buy it. It's in your actions. And there you go. That's the gift.
And that's, I think, the only thing that's... Does it make me seem like I, at the risk of sounding immature or whatever, I really enjoy the comfort of that time of being with my family, because I don't go home too often. I'm just too busy to do so, even though it's only an hour and a half from Toronto, my hometown of Peterborough, where my parents still live. But I just love that time. It's just so cozy. There's just something like a big hug for a couple of days. You just go home and you get to, you know, lay around and play games, watch movies.
Yeah, we divide and conquer is what Kelly and I call it over Christmas, because really our families want us so badly to be there. And it's just, you know, it's just, Kelly and I have all the other weeks of the year together.
Yeah, we've never, Leanne and I,
traveling.
Yeah, we do the same thing.
So I just go home. And this, normally I'm only home for a few days because I'm rehearsing a show or doing a show. And this year I'm going home for almost a week. And so is Kelly. So I'll go to Tennessee and she'll go to Indiana. And I love it. I love the traditions of the holidays. And I mean, I think it just is what's comfortable and nostalgic. And I'm a very nostalgic person, so I get it.
Yeah, you totally get it. I've never spent time over the holidays with a partner or their family, per se. And Leanne and I have also done the same thing, because her family's hugely important to her, and she's got kids in her life, and she wants to be there to watch them open the gifts. And that's in a 4 hours from, those cities are 4 hours from each other. So she'll come up on Boxing Day to see me or whatever, but we've always spent it separately. So this year we're going to go on Christmas Day, and we're going to go to a soup kitchen. We're going to feed some people.
Okay, that sounds charitable. I have to break, and I have to come back and go Boxing Day. I don't even know what the frack that is. So let me tell you what's going on in the news, and then we'll be back, because obviously I need to know what Boxing Day is.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Basketball Shoe Designer.
Mr. Basketball Shoe Designer.
Every year you make staggering advances in technology, like air, more air, slightly less air, and a separate air chamber for maximum air.
She's gonna blow!
Good ball handling skills, sound fundamentals, a killer outside shot. All completely useless unless we're wearing your sneakers.
I got a 2-inch vertical.
They're designed to last for a decade, which is just about the time we'll have them paid off.
I'm living in my van.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, old Sultan of the sneaker. We may never make a layup, but your shoes will always be a slam dunk.
Mr. Basketball Shoe Design.
Bud Light beer at Isaac Bush, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. A new study shows that GLBT individuals use statutes banning sexual orientation discrimination just as often as women and people of color utilize laws related to gender and race. The study revealed that 5 out of 10,000 GLBT people file sexual orientation employment discrimination complaints each year, a figure comparable to the number of sex and race-related complaints filed annually.
In the Life Media, producer of the long-running GLBT TV show In the Life, will run an innovative web-based educational video that tells the story of Josh, a young gay man in New York City. The video, which centers on HIV awareness and prevention, shows Josh confronting such issues as unprotected sex and online hookups. Researchers at New York City-based Public Health Solutions and New York University collaborated on the project, and gay social networking site Manhunt helped to promote it.
In Ohio, the Gay Community Endowment Fund of Akron Community Foundation has awarded $32,994 in grants to local nonprofit organizations. Among the grants is the largest award in the fund's history, $10,000 for the Akron Pride Center's Building Pride Capital Campaign.
A University of Iowa poll has revealed that 60% of those questioned in that state support rights for same-sex couples. The poll discovered that 28% of respondents are behind same-sex marriage, while another 30% support civil unions, but not marriage. Iowa's Supreme Court will hear arguments December 9th regarding six gay and lesbian couples who want to marry.
In Indonesia, legislators are throwing their support behind a bill that would authorize microchip implants in some people with HIV. One lawmaker said that the goal of the measure is to punish sexually aggressive HIV-positive individuals who spread the virus. The bill, which the organization Human Rights Watch has called misguided, may start implementation as soon as January.
America's Next Top Model creator and judge Tyra Banks recently surprised Isis King, the transgender former contestant, by announcing that she arranged for King to get free sex reassignment surgery. Banks made the revelation on her talk program, The Tyra Banks Show.
A Shot at Love will proceed with its third season, but without Tila Tequila. The blonde Iggy twins, and I swear that's their name, are set to replace Tequila with their show to be called A Double Shot at Love. Moreover, both sisters are said to be bisexual.
Wow. Double the pleasure. And former American Idol finalist Kimberly Locke said that she and out runner-up Clay Aiken aren't really friends anymore. Locke and Aiken were roommates at one time. Locke is currently part of the American Idol Holiday Tour, a tour of four former Idol finalists that includes David Hernandez, who once worked as a stripper at a gay club.
And that's the Weekend News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. What the hell is Boxing Day?
Boxing Day is December 26th. It's the day after Christmas.
Is this when you fight for the gift with your sibling that you You punch them out?
No,
the little girls who wanted G.I. Joe and the little boys who wanted the dolls are, like, beating each other up?
It could be.
I think it could be in some houses.
Well, I think it's been known to be comparable to your Black Friday as far as everyone goes out, the stores are back open, and the sales are on.
So it's the same thing. People are hitting each other to get what they want.
Yeah, I guess. No, yeah, Boxing Day is it's another holiday for us. I didn't know you didn't have Boxing Day there, or did I? Did I know that?
Maybe we do, and I'm just missing it for all these years. I love a holiday, so if I don't know about one, I should definitely add it to my calendar.
Well, you're good friends with a Canadian. By proxy, you have Boxing Day off.
Yeah, I'm flying on Boxing Day this year. It's when I'm coming back to Chicago.
Oh, there you go.
Means I have to buy a lot of stuff in the airport. Boxing Day. I love it.
Yeah, Boxing Day.
I want like a Boxing Day ornament on my tree.
I'll get you. Boxing Day sales are huge. Boxing Day, one day sale. It's the same, but we don't have the same percentage off as you guys do. Black Friday is, I don't know why it's called. Why is it called that? Do you know?
I don't. I just think it's a dark, dark day of low sales, and it's the biggest day of shopping, they say, of the year.
I've been in New York for that, and your savings are like 60, 70, 80% off, and you guys already have lower taxes than us anyway, so it's great, unless you're that 34-year-old Walmart employee in Long Island this year, trampled to death.
Yeah. No, I know. It's crazy, and yet they are, I think they're going to, this has been a year for, with this latest global dive that just happened in the past 24 hours, I think that they, you know, they expect that this has been just such a buyer, once again, a buyer's market, and bad for the retailers. So
right.
I don't know if they're going to go even lower, but I think they probably will. I bought a bunch of stuff, but I bought stuff online. I'm taking advantage of like online sales, and most of it's for me.
Oh, okay.
Like, I bought a new suitcase. I needed one. You know, I got it 50% off. I bought
like a nice big one, like a week away suitcase kind of thing.
Like a rolling, had the same one for 10 years kind of suitcase that I carry on the plane.
It's funny how you see the people. There's the odd smattering now at the airport, those big vinyl-y leatherette ones with the big strap at the front. You don't see as many as you used to of those. Remember those ones? The big and old industrial ones.
It's become
a fashion statement. I have like a, I got it as a gift from Leanne last year, actually, a beautiful Roots suitcase with a carry-on. And I never even cared before. I had like this Samsonite green rolly thing. But mm-hmm. I guess it's kind of part of the traveling thing. It's an accessory
or candy. I guess I need one of those. I just have the rolling wheel thing. I take one bag. I don't care if I'm gone for 2 days or 15 days. I take one bag. I'm economical like that.
No, that's good. That's good because you know what? You know as well as I do. You wear a third of what you bring.
Yeah, well, you do if it's the right weather and the right temperature.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm just thinking about booking I think we're going on a holiday at the end of January. Have you ever been to Cuba? Oh, you can't go to Cuba.
Nope.
Oh, sorry to rub it in. I think I'm going to Cuba in January.
Are you really?
Yeah, we went to the Dominican last year, the week before Christmas, and it was perfect. We came back and we missed all the commercialism bullshit of the everyone freaking out and doing last minute this, that, and the other thing. We were like, you know, I was sipping Mai Tais in the Dominican. And this year we're going to go because I'm starting mornings here on Proud FM. I'm going to do that for a month and then take off the end of June for a week.
Wow.
Somewhere all inclusive, and I want to do scuba diving again. I eventually want to get certified, but she wants to lie on the beach, do absolutely nothing, and I can't sit still for more than about 7 minutes.
Yeah. I could vacation with you because I could sit with your girlfriend. I want to do nothing when I'm on vacation.
Oh, really?
I like to get in the water, but I don't want to have to make it a big ordeal.
Oh, wow.
Somebody puts me on a boat in the morning. I hope I'm on it all day long because that way I'll just jump off and get in the water and get back on and... Yeah.
Like, do you tan professionally? She tans professionally. She all but times herself, bing, and then rotisseries herself onto her stomach.
I do that, yes.
Wow, okay. And then Kelly and I can go, like, cave jumping or something.
You all have fun. Cave jump away. Hey, so as you're going to Cuba, our film review today is taking us to Australia, I call it Botox in the Outback. with Nicole Kidman and Hugh Jackman, talking about pretty tall people. Who knew you could get Botox from the sap of the Australian trees? Let's see if Richard Knight Jr. liked Australia. It's a place I've always wanted to visit ever since the Thornbirds. Oh, Rolf. And we'll go do that and also tell you what is going on in the theater scene in case you want to go to the live theater. And we'll be back with Deb Pierce.
Hello, this is Mary Testa.
And Jackie Hoffman.
From the Broadway musical smash Xanadu. And we have something very important we need to talk to you about.
Happiness.
Speak the truth, Sister Jackie.
Are you content with your life? Are you frustrated? Do you come home at the end of the day and go, what the hell was that about?
If so, and we think you might, then you could use a laugh.
A good one, or two.
Or a bazillion, and we know just where you can get them.
At Xanadu.
People, it's the biggest surprise hit in Broadway history with an adorable love story, fabulous songs, inspired hilarity, all wrapped up in a sweet 90 minutes.
I love that part. You're home in time for Top Chef.
Oh, and if you think we're that crappy 80s movie, think again.
Please, the critics are gaga for this thing. The New Yorker actually called us ridiculously brilliant. I do not lie.
So it's not like we're therapists or anything, but if you want to get happy, you could take pills or you could come and see Xanadu.
For tickets to Xanadu, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of December 1st, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. The Chicago holiday tradition is back. American Theater Company's celebrated ensemble lovingly presents It's a Wonderful Life, the radio play, adapted from the film by Frank Capra. It's the classic story as a period radio play, complete with commercial breaks and live Foley sound effects, playing now through December 28th. For tickets, visit www.atcweb.org.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents The Marriage of Figaro, now playing through January 4th at the Greenhouse Theater Center. Five stars, says Time Out Chicago. A top-to-bottom delight whose message is nestled in an abundance of screwball craft. Don't miss The Marriage of Figaro and a new adaptation. For more information, visit remybumpo.org.
Meet Edith and Little Edie Beale, Jackie O's most scandalous relatives, in the Tony Award-winning smash hit musical, Grey Gardens, starring Hollis Resnick. This fall's most anticipated production follows the pair's fall from high society into the squalor of their infamous East Hampton home. Grey Gardens is playing through December 28th. For more, visit northlight.org.
Don't miss the hilarious comedy Don't Dress for Dinner, starring Burn Notice star Jeffrey Donovan and Patricia Callenber, formerly of TV's Sisters. Playing now at the Royal George Theater. For tickets to Don't Dress for Dinner, go online at don'tdressfordinner.com.
Signal Ensemble Theater continues its sixth season with 6 Degrees of Separation, running now until December 20th at Wicker Park's Chopin Theater. A comic tragedy, 6 Degrees of Separation follows a young homeless man creating a web of confusion and tragedy as he enters a family's life, exploring that everybody on this planet is separated by only 6 other people. Visit SignalEnsemble.com for more. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hey, this is Carson Kressley, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Hello, you interactive theatrical types. This is Dick O'Day inviting you to celebrate the holidays this year with 2 wacky shows for the price of 1. Join me at 3 p.m. on Sunday afternoons at the Royal George Theater from November 16th through December 21st for a mini holiday-themed version of my Dick O'Day's Big Lovely Bingo theatrical game show. After bingo, stick around for Sunday School Cinema, the hilarious hit comedy in which Sister reviews movies from her nonsensical perspective and lets you know which ones are good, bad, and condemned. That's Sundays at 3 p.m. at the Royal George Theater at 1641 North Halsted from November 16th through December 21st. Phone 312-988-9000 or visit dickoday.com or nunsforfun.com. And that's a 4 with like the number 4. Okay, you got it. Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. Hey fans of Out of Africa, Dr. Zhivago, Gone with the Wind, Australia is the epic-sized love story you've been hungering for. Patently false from beginning to end, populated with stereotypical characters, set against a sweeping landscape and large-scale historical events, this is one of those old-fashioned movies they used to make before fidgety audiences didn't have the ability to text message each other at the slow spots. The story begins in the late 1930s and follows prim, upper-class Lady Ashley, played by Nicole Kidman, who arrives to join her husband at their Maryland-sized ranch far away down in the outback of Australia. There she meets the rough and tough Rover, a.k.a. cattle driver Hugh Jackman, who works for the husband who has been murdered by minions working for the local cattle baron King Carney, no relation to Art, I assume, who is played by Brian Brown, who wants far away down for himself, of course. Nick and you naturally are like oil and water at first. I mix with dingles, not duchesses, you tells Nick with her weird, unlined, embryonic face and puppy lips, but soon she bewitches him. A cattle drive, a subplot involving an Aborigine orphan boy and the outbreak of World War II provide the historical backdrop for the drawn-out romance between the two that follows. Kidman and Jackman finally get parts that allow them to speak in their own native accents, but there's zero chemistry between them. And frankly, Kidman's just so odd-looking now that every close-up of her throws one out of the picture. Chemistry aside, the roles don't ask much from the two leads or much from the supporting cast either. But the acting's not the point here. The scenery and sweeping shots of it are. Australia has none of the other frenetic hallmarks of Luhrmann's earlier movies, who is making his first film since 2001's Moulin Rouge, which is not necessarily a bad thing. And a broadly drawn movie like this is something of a rarity, so I'm inclined to encourage you to give this continent-sized epic a bit of a go. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
So, Deb,
yes.
Where is the most exotic place that you've traveled to? You're heading to Cuba. We just heard about Australia.
Yep. Yeah, now I really want to go to Australia. I have to say, well, the
just
the
for
Cuba
the free Botox is, alone.
Absolutely. Talk about tree hugging.
She has not a line in her face. You understand this, right?
Yeah, that's weird.
And neither does the redhead, who I have a little weird crush on Desperate Julianne Housewives.
Moore. Oh,
no, her too, but Marcia Cross.
Bree.
Yes.
She's got an odd profile. She kind of looks like the mask of Saw sometimes. You ever see those scary ones? I was just noticing that this Sunday night as she was talking to Orson about him getting his surgery for his snoring recently.
She was so angry with Terry Hatcher too at one point, and Kelly was like, look at that. Her face does not move. Nothing moves except the lines around her mouth.
Yeah, she looks like literally the big cheeks and the pointed chin and the predominant face facial features of the mask from Saw.
Yeah, I used to love her. I loved when she was drunk on last week's episode because it reminded me of her Melrose Place character. I used to like her naughty, naughty character.
Oh, that was when showing up at Michael's beach house unannounced?
Yeah.
Craziness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good show. Good show.
I love that. It fed all of my soapy loves, that Melrose Place. Including Heather Locklear, right in the middle. But where have you been?
Well, I would have to say, taking it back to Dominican, I would have to say that's my most exotic place so far as warmth and stuff. I haven't traveled nearly as much as I'd like to. It sounds like you would like to travel more as well.
Yeah, this has got to happen. This has got to happen. I'm hearing you're going to Cuba, and films are being made in Australia. Things are happening around the world, and I am not experiencing it. I have to get off my tuchus.
Well, my best friend just got back from climbing and doing Machu Picchu in Peru.
Oh,
she climbed Three Peaks. She's done Kilimanjaro. She's done all that stuff. And every time she comes back, she's a little more together, a little more zen. I mean, this woman is just a powerhouse.
Yeah.
Like, she's exceptional. And she's like, you know, it's such a huge world out there, you know?
It is.
I mean, it's one thing to say it, but then you literally... You know, you fly through the air, you see all this land that you're going over, and then everything's completely different culturally, environmentally. Things are so, there's so much to do, but it's not cheap. I mean, it's not cheap.
Yeah. That's okay.
Maybe we should become travel agents.
Live for today. That's what I'm
doing.
True. So what did you do today? We're going to wrap this up. I have to tell you what I did today, but I want to know what you did today besides your lovely show.
Well, I straightened my hair, which is my new hairstyle.
Oh, you are?
Oh, it's very cute. And I broke up with my hairstylist because I felt like I wanted to share with him that I was cheating on him and that I was going somewhere else for a change, but I wanted him to know that, and it wasn't personal. I just was ready for a change.
Yeah. How did he take it?
He took it just fine. I worded it in such a way that he knew that it wasn't necessarily about him. It was just about where I was heading. And that what him and I had been doing was something that I didn't want anymore.
There you go. Wow,
yeah.
You really did break up with your hairdresser.
I really did, and I thought it was important. And listen, I got mixed messages where people were like, no, don't call him, it's just a job. And some people saying, no, it's really respectful to do that. You know, I don't know if it was the right thing or the wrong thing to do. It felt like the right thing for me. So I broke up with my hairstylist and went to work, and now I'm going to be doing my open mic night this evening. It's called One Night Stand.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And you?
No, I was just thinking about your one-night stand.
That's what it's called. Isn't that funny?
It is funny.
Thank you.
What do you do there?
I host a one-night stand. I host an open mic night where I sing every, like, half an hour or so if there's a lull. And people come in, and there's a huge, beautiful grand piano, and there's wonderful pianists and vocalists and people that get up and play guitar and... I give away things from Proud FM, and I keep the room, ideally keep them engaged with comedy, and then I take my money and I run.
Now, maybe we need more of those people to come down for our Gays Got Talent. Maybe we should do, like, Canadians Have Talent and I'll come up to you, and then you come down here.
We'll Americans do some cross-border
and
talent.
Gay, and Canadian gays have talent. And
yeah.
Do a best of Canada versus a best of America.
That would be great. Who do you think would win?
We would, of course.
That's what I was going to say. We would. Oh, now it's on. Bring it.
Bring it.
Oh, it's on. It is on.
So this is what my day was. I live the life of a gay man. I have no clue how I live such a life of a gay man. Maybe it's because my girlfriend's out of town. But I...
You're batching it.
I'm batching it. So big time. Mm-hmm. I, along with an electrician today, a handyman, put up a chandelier in my guest bedroom.
Nice work.
Now, let me just tell you. That is the most nerve-wracking, crazy-ass job in the entire world. First of
all... Electrical work?
No, not the all the crystals. This is like one of those chandeliers that has crystals, and they hook on with little pieces of wire. And I had bought it out of this flower shop that went out of business. I was hopping on the L one day, and there was this flower shop I remembered, and it was totally vacant. I said, we've closed. But the chandelier was lit and hanging in their front window, and I was like, oh, I need a chandelier. I've been looking for one. I like that one. I bet I could get it cheap. So... figured out how to buy it. Then I had my handyman go over there and take it down. It was in this box, all these pieces. But then we were going to hang it today. So I realized yesterday I need to clean it.
Piece
wow.
By piece.
Wow. So use vinegar and water. This is the best thing that I discovered. Don't use soap and water unless it's black and filthy, which this wasn't.
Yeah,
it was
no,
dirty.
That would create a film. Yeah.
Yeah, it was dirty. So I'm cleaning with vinegar and water. My hands smell like vinegar. They have now for 2 days. And then you have to lay it all out everywhere, right? On all these tables and towels.
How many pieces do you think you cleaned?
I don't know. Four times four, 16 plus five, 21 plus another four, 25. 25 pieces in addition to the little cups, which would be five of those, 30. Plus the actual stain, you know, the main thing that hangs down. Anyhow, it was a lot of little pieces of crystal.
That is.
And it's cool. And it's up now and it looks great. But let me tell you, like, we dropped things and then things were breaking. Then you're super gluing little pieces. And, oh, it was just, I was supposed to do lunch with a friend and I had to call her and I said, this is just not going to happen. This is a project. And I'm not going to get
out of here. Sounds like a day-long project.
No, it wasn't that long, but let me tell you, it was tedious. It was very tedious, but the result is gorgeous. And
I think you need to put a picture up on the website at this point. Like, I have a visual of what I think it is.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'd have to have a camera.
Yep.
Christmas gift. I would have to know how to take a picture with a camera. There are going to be lessons involved with that. And then I'd have to somehow learn how to get pictures from a camera onto my computer.
Okay, I want to get a picture of me underneath the lit. I've got a digital camera, and I may be getting a new one for Christmas because I have to tape the batteries in, long story. I will take a picture of it, and we'll put it up.
There you go.
I'll learn you how to put pictures on the internet.
Yeah. I don't know if I want my bedrooms on the internet, but we'll see.
Just my head in the chandelier.
Just your hand in the chandelier.
Like as if it's my tiara, as if it's my crown.
It looks like a tiara. Like a girl should never have to borrow a gold tiara, as my friend Marky Chambers used to say.
Nice.
A young lady should never have to borrow a gold tiara. Well, lady, it has been fabulous to chat with you. When are you moving to mornings on Proud FM so we can listen to you live?
December the 8th.
December the 8th. So next week, you'll be listening to Deb Pierce from When to Win.
Pierce, that sounds like an automatopoeia. Pierce, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. my time, so that's 5 to 9 yours.
Wow, so
you will
I'm
never
still awake
listen to my show.
The night before, I will listen to you.
Okay, well, that's what I said. That's what I put on my Facebook group for all those getting up early or coming home late the night before.
Wow. God, you are really going to be you're going to be like a rooster. You're going to be on a totally different life cycle than me.
It absolutely, yeah, it will be. But I've done mornings before, and I still have energy. I just always have just a little bit of gut rot from extreme fatigue.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Godspeed on all that. We will listen to you. I'll just start turning you on when I'm brushing my teeth in the morning. That'll be how I'll hear you.
Okay, good. I'll just help you get up in your last 5 minutes.
There you go. And coming on our next show, Mitchell Fain. He's been hanging out at the theater building playing that crotchety old chain-smoking Macy's elf in David Sedaris's The Santaland Diaries. And Mitchell's with me in our next show. We're going to hang out on the couch, hopefully in front of the tree. I definitely should take a picture of the tree. I have my other gay man fantasy is my Christmas tree. So we're going to hang out under the tree, kind of like Judy and Bing, and we'll bring our next show to you next week. So, Deb, stay warm and dry, and enjoy the snow with your bunny and your bunny.
Yeah. Be safe out there. Get yourself some snow tires.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.